That's
right.
The eighth.
Oh,
the eighth
yes.
Card.
Wonderful. Now, I may borrow that. Well, I have a form to sign on things that you've gotten together that we might borrow for our exhibit.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see, I was asking you, did you do the ordinary things that so many folks did, like save foil?
I can remember also saving any kind of grease, you know, like the bacon grease or anything like that, they seem to use them.
What did you do with it?
I can't remember where I had to take them to someplace, and then I guess they used them in their explosives or something.
Did they really?
I think so.
Did you experience any air raid drills here in Northport?
Not while we were, they did. While
they did.
While we were gone.
I see.
Because I remember Orrin's mother telling me that they used to have people that would go up on the town hill up there by the schoolhouse or something and
mm-hmm.
watch for
by the
planes.
Hospital.
And, uh-huh. Going by. But that was while we were gone, too, so.
Now, how about air raid drills when you folks were working in the factories? Did they go?
I don't remember one.
I don't either. Told us to get to work.
Yeah. Most important.
Yeah.
Would you say that people were afraid? Were they concerned about their safety?
I don't really think they were. I think mostly
well,
it
think
was over there, you know, it wasn't...
I don't think it came close to us.
I don't remember people standing around talking about, gee whiz, I wonder if we're going to have an air raid or
mm-hmm.
Anything like that.
Now, you spoke of your two brothers being seriously wounded. Did they recover?
Mm-hmm. They did, but they're... my one brother damaged his ears, his hearing, and he had was shot in the arm, and he don't have an artery from here to his hand, it's just blood vessels. And he was only over there a short time. The other brother was...
What branch were they in?
Just in the Army.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one, he really got it. He was into a lot of heavy fighting, and tail end of the Battle of the Bulge and stuff.
That's bad.
And that affected him. Now, looking back, well, he really had a hard time with it when he got back.
Emotionally?
Yeah.
As well as physically.
But he's okay now.
Good.
He's married, and his wife is from Holland. The Netherlands. And they went over there here not too many years ago. And retraced his steps. And you know,
that
I think that did the most for him. He's been able to talk about the war and everything since.
How old were those boys when they went in, do you know?
Mm-hmm. Well,
one of them got drafted out of high school.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
He was about 17, probably, or not 16, 17 must have been. But he was a senior.
So they left you from Northport here.
Mm-hmm. And I had three brothers in, but the one brother was in the Navy, but he didn't, by the time he got through with everything, he was stationed at the Great Lakes.
How many children were in your family?
Six.
And three of them were in service.
Mm-hmm. The youngest was too young.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the oldest, and then I have a sister and then four brothers.
Did either of you lose any friends or family in the war?
One of my closest friends in high school, his name was Alden Lackey. He
Lackey?
Was Lackey.
L-A-C-K-E-Y?
I-E, I think.
He was at Pearl Harbor, and nobody has ever heard from him.
Is that right? That would be missing in action.
Mm-hmm.
He was in the Air Force.
Mm-hmm. And where did his folks live, in Northport?
Yes. Mm-hmm. His father was a... My father's main carpenter.
I see. His sister is still living, and she's never quite gotten over that. Not ever knowing, you know, whatever happened. But it was, I think, a bombing raid.
I have another classmate that stepped on an explosive. And he lived for only a few years after the war.
Mm-hmm. Was he in the European theater or
the
Pacific?
Yes.
How did you get news about the war?
Mostly by newspaper and radio.
Mm. Any particular papers that you counted on for your news?
Well, I don't remember which papers would be either Bay City or Detroit papers, I suppose.
Did you send packages overseas to
No, I didn't.
Friends,
no,
brothers,
well, no, I didn't. I guess I left that up to my mother.
She probably did that.
Yeah. Well, or I'd send notes to her, or, and then she'd put everything in a package, you know.
Now, when she got a letter from the boys, would she tell you about it?
Yeah, but not very often did they get a letter. Well, Wayne was only over there a short time. What did he say? 2 or 3 months when he got hit. And then she heard through telegram for both of them, and they weren't too awfully, well, they were too, quite a ways apart. But it was always someone else who wrote to, like a nurse or someone, I suppose, who wrote to her.
Let's see, where did your mother live in town?
They lived right here.
Above the drugstore.
Above the drugstore.
Right. Sure, you told me that. I remember they used to hang a little emblem in the window if you had people in service. Mm-hmm. Did your mother do that?
I don't know. Isn't that funny?
Well, you indicated you didn't get home very much.
We didn't. When we got home, that was the furthest from our mind, what had happened. Anxious to get on with our life, I guess.
Let's see, then if you, well, by the time you got home, you were in your early 30s, 32 or so?
I would guess so.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, because I was 30 years old when our son was born. And I remember I was pregnant when they had, what they call it, VE Day or what? VJ.
Mm-hmm. Well, victory
the
in Europe and then surrendered. Where were you when VE Day occurred, do you recall?
I was working in Cadillac and Gene was starting to get us organized again in Northport.
Now that was for VJ or VE?
VJ Day.
VJ.
Yeah, not VE.
Was there any celebration in Northport when that happened?
Everybody was running around and talking about it. I can't remember if they rang the bells or blew whistles or something.
It seems as though that
they did.
It happened so gradually. Everybody knew of several months that the war was going to be over. All that they had to do was sign the papers. I think it seemed like it was a gradual. It wasn't just a big hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
As I remember.
When we were talking about how you got your news about the war, do you remember any magazines that were important to you folks? I was thinking of the kinds like Life.
Well, I used to get the Life magazine and read that through and watch or look at the pictures and stuff. As a matter of fact, I've got some magazines and things up in the attic, but I don't know if I've saved some from that far back. I've got a lot
that
of
that would be a treasure if you did.
Yes. Well,
it
I was going to go up and look at it for a
It's cold up there, so cold.
That's right.
If I find something, why I could
yes,
let you know.
You might.
When it gets a little bit warmer.
So when BJ Day came, you folks weren't even together because you were still in
yeah.
Cadillac and you were up here in mm-hmm. Northport.
But I remember that something very interesting was going on, and I don't remember exactly what it was, but I can remember going out and sitting in the car and listening to the radio at lunch hour. And well, I was working, and I just hated to go back in to
mm-hmm.
work because I wanted to listen to whatever it was. And maybe that's
maybe that
was when but what it was I can't remember, but I remember being so excited and so interested in
one
something
of,
that was
one
going
of
on.
One of Jean's job was she they call it burying. I mean, they bore holes in the horns and then they take off the shavings, you know. And she used to come home with two figures all
so
taped up. They were sores.
Oh, cut. Oh, gee.
I bet that was a tough one.
It was a loud place, so they had to test those horns after they'd get the
mm-hmm.
insides out of it.
And they didn't give you ear protection in those days, I suppose.
No. They talked about in the summertime how they could hear it all over the outside the area.
I tell you though, I was so proud of those PT boys. They were slick, I tell you.
Yeah.
What was the biggest change in your everyday life between peacetime and wartime?
Well, I
well, it wasn't very comfortable living in that. Our trailer was only 16 feet or 18 feet or something like that. But we made the most of it. I tell you, we had a little Christmas tree there.
My mother sent us a Christmas tree
and
from up here.
It was
a real one.
It wasn't
a real one.
It wasn't really good living, but we were reasonably happy.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we've been only married 3-4 years.
Mm-hmm. And I think it made it nicer to have other people from up here that we knew, you know, so that we didn't feel so alone like we would have if we...
Right. Yeah, talk a little more about what you folks all did for entertainment during those war years.
Seemed like most of the time we worked, but we did. We used to, the whole group of us, there was a big dance hall. This was down in Trenton on one side of us and a beer garden on the other side. So there was, if we didn't have gas to go anyplace, so we usually went over to the dance place.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great big hall and we just had a lot of fun. And everybody had anniversary or birthdays in March, and we made one great big party out of that. That was fun.
I can remember
one
thing that happened. We were in this cluster of cabins in Bay City, and you couldn't buy any beer, it seemed like. So one of the owners of the gas station was a young male. And there was, we used to congregate there in the park, you know, there were about a little park there among these cabins. So he would go, he knew somebody in a beer joint down the line somewhere, and once in a while he'd come home with a pail of beer.
And then they'd stick it in a big wash tub full of ice.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'd have our picnic hot dogs and stuff, and we have our beer dishes, dip it out of the pail.
Did they all live in trailers, the other folks in
Well, the one, this was a different place.
Oh, I see.
This was in Bay City.
Yeah, when we were in Bay City, we were by ourselves. I mean, the others were there too, but they lived different places. And but we got really acquainted with the owners of the place, and they treated us real good.
That was fun. So what things were rationed besides gasoline?
Oh gosh, seems like coffee I can remember, and a lot of things that in the store, sugar and things like that. You had to really figure with your stamps how much you could buy. And
mm-hmm. My tires were thin, I remember.
Your tires? Pull your chair up just a little bit.
Excuse me.
Were tires rationed?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So did the shortages really affect your daily life outside of the gas? You said you couldn't come home.
Well, I don't think it was too awfully bad because there were only the two of us. I think if there was a family, it'd be hard to
mm-hmm.
for the rationing. Of course, maybe the stamps were given to families according to how many there were. I don't
mm-hmm.
really remember that, but
we were fortunate.
Yeah.
Do you recall that there were some items in stores that just simply weren't available at all?
I don't remember that.
Were there things that you missed a lot?
Mm-hmm. Not that I can recall.
We missed family, I guess.
Yeah, we missed home more than anything. But I don't really feel that we suffered a whole lot as far as the rationing was concerned.
Do you recall any special recipes that were made by your family during the times of rationing?
I remember there used to be this sugarless, milkless, eggless cake.
That was terrible.
Yeah.
Do you recall any more about it? How you made it?
No.
No.
I don't. I think my mother had that recipe. My girlfriend's mother used to make it a lot.
Mm-hmm. You've spoken of your mother. Was your father still living?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And your folks were still here?
Yes.
And what did they do during all these years when you were away?
Well, my father was a building contractor and at the resort, and it seemed as though, even though there wasn't building going on, there was just enough fixing up and remodeling or just keeping things from falling apart. He managed to make a living.
Mm-hmm. How about blackouts up here?
Well, I think they did have blackouts. They're not supposed to have your lights on showing through the windows and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. How about where you were working? Did they have blackouts there?
I don't know.
I don't remember.
Maybe it was, I don't know if they had shifts. And we never worked nights or anything, so we didn't, I don't remember ever having to turn our lights off or do anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Then what was the saddest day of the war for you?
All kind of sad. He hated it. But
sad.
Other than hearing about our friend who was killed.
I can't recall anything particular.
Yeah, what was the happiest day during the war?
Happiest day was when it was over, yeah.
Came home.
I can't tell you.
Excuse me.
Excuse me.
has your day-to-day life changed from before the war to after the war?
Well, I think we were much busier after the war was over.
Busy in what way?
Well, we wanted to build our house, and we, Orange started working, and I had our son then by that time. It just seemed like we were busy, and then I worked in my dad's store after Orne would go to work. Mm-hmm. During the day, and when he came home, I'd work evenings in the summertime when they were busy. And I didn't do that before. So,
what did they sell in the store? Was it pretty much a drugstore as it is now?
It was a real drugstore. I mean, a pharmacy and the whole thing. And then they also had a gift shop in connection with that.
That was the only gift shop in town at that time.
Just about.
Mm-hmm. Now there's dozens.
There aren't quite a few.
Too many.
That's a change, I guess you would say.
Yeah, I guess it is.
Well, we used to have, before the war, I think we had like 3 grocery stores. Now we only got 1. We had 3 gas stations. Now there's only 1.
Now that was before the war.
Before the war.
How do you account for that?
I don't know, really.
Did the population decline? Or?
No, I think what happened was the most prosperous gas station bought out the other 2 as a business venture. I mean, as
get rid of his competition.
Right.
Who was the gas station? The big one.
So it was the Standard, but I can't remember who had it. Judas Brito had it, I guess.
Yeah. Well, he had it. It was Citgo at first. And then, well, like the Anderson's store, some of the older ones, you know, they just died. The younger ones took it over, and it didn't work out as good.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that. So,
who had the grocery store at that time?
Well,
Caitlin Risley, wasn't it?
Well, Louis Anderson had the grocery store, and Clarence Scott, and then Eldon Dame took over Clarence Scott's store, and then Bud Deering had the other store.
Louis Anderson was a state representative for this area for years, and he had the store.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Did you know Eloise Basta?
Mm-hmm. That was her father.
Right.
And George Anderson. So.
Would you say that you were changed yourself from your experiences during the war?
Well, I suppose we grew up quite a bit. We were just young when we started out and left here. Can't help but change it. Doing
well, things get a little more serious when you go through a operation like that, I think. And
now when you think back about just picking up and packing your belongings in the car and going off, does that seem like a big adventure?
Well, I don't, today, it would be impossible, I think, to leave town without a job on, say, less than $100 in your pocket.
That's what I said many times.
Actually,
we had an awful lot of nerve to leave home on just a little bit like we did. We didn't know where we were going or what we were going to do.
That wouldn't even get you one night away.
Second-hand car.
Mm-hmm. I wonder what went through our folks' mind, because I know what I would be thinking if it was our son.
If there was a lesson to learn from your wartime experience, what was it?
Oh, golly, I don't know.
Well, we were pretty footloose, I think, before we left, and I think that we ended up thinking more seriously about life a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we were starting a family too, but it was a little more down to earth.
Mm-hmm.
Were there any good things that were the result of the war?
Oh, yeah, I would think that we learned a lot. Sure, we got along.
Well, I think it taught us how to manage.
Sure did.
Money and because we were saving, we had this place to look forward to doing something
mm-hmm.
with, and that helped us to save our bonds and
so you did have
stuff.
Goals.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to ask you if you have any photographs or mementos, and you did get out your gas rationing stamps.
I don't have any. Pictures.
Isn't it, we do have, they're buried up in the attic. Oh, I have an important thing.
Yeah. You know, I got some coffee there and I never thought
of
it.
Oh, no
so
thanks,
that
I don't care for any.
I have an Army, Navy, edition.
Well, that's the,
oh,
that's
yes,
the program.
Yeah. No, this is the program.
Yeah.
Not out in the war, but I did save the pins and some. What was it?
That's the award that you got.
Those were awards for excellence
yeah.
in
the company.
This is a framed.
Well, Orne made the frame.
Uh-huh. Well, a good woodworker, of course he did. It certifies that Orne Fredrickson has contributed by loyal effort and efficiency while an employee in winning the Army Navy Production Award for Excellence in War Production. Signed George Eddy, Eddy Shipbuilding Corporation, October 12th, 1944.
Is that the date, 44?
2 days before our anniversary.
Uh-huh. Well, that's a very nice thing to have had.
But wait, I did have some other. I don't know. What's that, Jean?
Well, that's the invitation that was sent out, or that was given to you for this program that they had in awarding.
I had
this.
Other things, but I don't know what they were. Oh, I see. This is just nothing.
Oh, so you were all invited
mm-hmm.
For the presentation of the award.
Mm-hmm.
That must have been.
Very
okay.
nice. I recall that was quite a big deal to
yeah.
have the Excellence Award.
I was proud of that. I
bet you were.
Not... Not those crude sub-chasers we did. That was pretty crude.
Music
all,
by the Elks Band.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, this is the program of them.
And those landing barges
in
Cadillac, they were just a bunch of junk. But I'll tell you,
Under
those...
Secretary of War, a letter to Eddies, and then their answer.
Oh, nice. I'll tell Laura that you have those things.
Who's Laura, by the way?
Laura Quackenbush she runs the museum. She's the curator, and she does everything. She's
do
the only.
Job. I'll have to hand it to you.
She's the only hired professional that they have, and the rest are all volunteers.
Oh, I think that's wonderful.
Now I'm going to ask you to sign the agreement that I spoke with you about earlier, and it. Tells you that we will use your interview for good scholarly works. You know, I'll leave a copy here for you, and then I will take one.
I don't think we offered too much, but
well, you certainly did. And I want you to sign there and there, please.
What am I? Do hereby give the liver a trust fund. Yeah, arthritis. Can't write.
That's hard, isn't it?
Well, if you, I'll have him show you his two fingers. During all this woodworking and house building and everything.
Down there, please. As well. And I appreciate that very much. It was nice to meet you folks.
This is interesting, really.